He had plastic bags wrapped round his shoes. He was covered with the evening news. Had a pair of old wool socks on his hands. The bank sign was flashing five below. It was freezing rain and spitting snow. He was curled up behind some garbage cans. I was afraid that he was dead. I gave him a gentle shake. When he opened up his eyes, I said, "Old man, are you okay?" He said, "I just climbed out of a cottonwood tree. I was running from some honeybees. Drip drying in the summer breeze. After jumping into Calico Creek, I was walking down an older road. Past a field of hay that had just been mowed. Left me alone, 'cause I was almost home."
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning, this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And that's a beautiful song called Almost Home from Craig Morgan. And there's a reason why I played that song this morning, because we have an organization that's in the studio today that I am embarrassed to say know very little about. In fact, I've barely ever heard of this organization. And to find out what they are doing in our community, I'm very excited to have them here so you can learn about them too. So I'm hoping that you will ask questions. Our text line is 850-437-1620. I have Bruce Cady here. Bruce is the executive director now for the Opening Doors of Northwest Florida. Bruce, I went on your website and I'm so blown away and impressed by all the services you provide and all the things that y'all do. And you also have with you Serena Kike is here, previously the director, and she is here in a supportive role because you are now in charge. How long have you been doing the position now?
35 days here with.
But who's counting? Well, Bruce, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll talk about. I want to hear all about Opening Doors of Northwest Florida. I'm excited to say we have a full hour with you this morning because we have a lot to tell everybody. So please, what is Opening Doors of Northwest Florida?
Well, Meg, first off, thank you so much for having us on your show. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to connect with the community. And I am honored to have been selected just 35 days ago to lead this wonderful organization. Opening Doors Northwest Florida is a 501c3. We're a nonprofit. We are the lead agency for housing and urban development. For what's called the homeless continuum of care.
Okay.
Okay, across the United States, HUD has carved up counties to designate areas that focus on the coordination and collaboration in support of those experiencing homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone that's involved with part of the homeless service delivery network is part of a continuum of care. And so we're the lead agency. So we're, think about us as being a combination of coach.
Right.
A combination of some expert staff that can help the our member organizations mm-hmm. to do the work that they're doing. And also kind of a traffic cop, right? To
yes.
figure out who's doing what.
Uh-huh.
You know, the technical mission for a continuum of care is to identify gaps in services.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you have identified the gaps in services, okay, what are the funding needs to meet those gaps in services? And then we go out and we advocate locally at the state level, the federal level, as well as to private philanthropy to get those assets into the community so all of our collaborative partners have access to these funds to meet the gaps in service.
Right, right.
So that's kind of the textbook definition of what a continuum of care does. In layman's words, we're out there working with our partners to identify mm-hmm. what they need, when they need it, and how much they need, and then we figure out a way to go go get that for them.
Wow. Okay. So talk a little bit about some of your partners. So, let's go back. First of all, what would be the estimate at this point? You work with Escambia and Santa Rosa County. Do you have any idea of how many homeless we have in our area coming into this year?
Well, a great question. And maybe later on we can talk about this a wonderful exercise that
yes,
we do.
Yes, I'm getting to that. So I wanted to see where we are before we go there.
Gotcha. Okay, so fair enough. So it's a great starting point. Without going into the details, once a year, continuums of cares like ours have to do what's called a point in time count.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also the housing inventory count.
Okay.
Okay, and that occurs in the last 10 days of January, and that is where we as a community go and we actually touch, we survey those experiencing homelessness to understand not who they are, but the demographics of who they are and how mm-hmm. they got there.
Right.
Okay, so it's not like a census where we're tracking down individuals. We are identifying those experiencing homelessness, and so we need to understand the demographics, the ages involved, different identifying components to then allow us to do to build programming and understand.
So it's a much more thorough. It's not just counting heads. This is a survey to sort of understand how folks got to where they are, and to kind of, I would say that there's a lot of what's the right word? Prejudice might be one. Misunderstanding
sure.
is another. People tend to make up in their minds, oh well, they got there themselves. There's kind of a little bit of an attitude,
sure.
And one of the things to know is that there are all different types of people on the homeless horizon, mm-hmm. basically. I mean, that range from the mentally ill. We know that right. that's a big part of the population. But there are also people who've just literally had lost their job and then eventually lost the ability to pay for their housing. Next thing you know, yep. they are now in their car or they've got family or kids or there might be a medical issue. I mean, there's a million scenarios, I would
sure.
imagine, that suddenly a person that would not even imagine themselves being in that situation if they don't have family or they don't have the resources suddenly find themselves counted as, quote, one of the homeless.
Sure. And if I could share a story from where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So where I moved here.
You just
here.
Came here. So.
I've been in our community now for about 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I moved here literally the week before Thanksgiving. Where I was before is the east coast of Florida, the Treasure Coast,
mm-hmm.
Indian River, St. Lucie, and Martin counties. And anecdotally, we thought that we were seeing older women in the street homeless population.
Right.
That's anecdotally.
Mm.
Okay, so there was no a basis for that data other than, boy, we're seeing a lot of older women. So when we did the PIT count that year, we specifically filtered those that were surveyed that were adult female and over the age of 62.
Mm-hmm.
And because we had all that data, we could go back in previous years and look to see what the numbers for adult elderly women on the street were. And we saw in that year that we actually looked at it, an appreciable increase in elderly homeless women on the street.
Interesting.
And part of the and as we started to look at the data and interact with the individuals that were experiencing homelessness, we were finding a really consistent story of individuals, couples typically, mm-hmm. husbands and wives that retired out of, in that part of Florida. We got a lot of folks.
Of retirees,
yeah, a lot
sure.
of retirees, right?
Here too, by the way.
oh, absolutely. I'm still in Florida. I know
yeah.
that. They would retire up in the Northeast, come down to Florida in the 90s, and things were affordable.
Mm-hmm.
The weather was nice. They could get into nice rental housing at a low cost. The retirement dollars really carried them far. Well, then, because of changes in the state of medicine, folks started outliving their mm-hmm. retirements. Their mm-hmm. 401k calculations from the 90s were a lot different in 2020.
Does it really apply now?
Yeah. And so, 401ks were depleting, retirements were aging out. And then perhaps, the husband passes.
Mm-hmm.
And the husband was, during that generation, the primary, breadwinner.
Right, because these are the folks, your World War II folks.
Exactly.
Right?
And grandma in these cases didn't work, and so she would receive the basic subsistence Social Security, whereas, you know, grandpa brought in the greater share because he paid more into the system.
Right.
And so on $700-$800 a month, you're not gonna be able to afford anything. Certainly not housing.
Right.
Right. And so we were able to wrap this tangible data that was certified with some causal items that we determined was causing the social issue that we had, and then advocate with local governments to identify funding sources for specifically homeless shelters for elderly women mm-hmm. who have different needs than other women.
Right.
The elderly have, you know, some more unique, you know, care requirements, and then get funding, state, local, federal, get some VA dollars in for mm-hmm. the veterans to allow the community to stand up, you know, shelter capacity for elderly women.
Well, so that's interesting because each case is very different, I would imagine. So there's no sort of blanket thing that you can do for every, you know, okay, we're going to deal with all of these, but all their circumstances are different. Their healthcare is different. Their, how they got there is different, correct?
Sure. Absolutely. What I caution people when you're looking at when you're thinking of homelessness, mm-hmm. we all see the just the sad images of those members of our communities that are on the street. They're just sleeping rough. We call it in the industry sleeping rough. They're on a bench. They're in a tent. There are many more that we don't see.
Mm-hmm.
When we publish our point in time count statistics after we do the count next week, we're going to include this year counts from the schools.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there's legislation called the McKinney-Vento Act that provides federal funding to all the school districts across the country to help them provide supportive services for homeless families that have minor children in the schools. And so once a year, at the start of the school year, typically here in Florida, July to August timeframe, the school districts will count those individuals that are experiencing homelessness. And the McKinney-Vento definition of homeless is a bit different than what we're required to adhere to for the point in time count.
Mm-hmm.
So we can, from those numbers, we can see those families that are they're doubled up or tripled up with other family members. It's called couch surfing.
Right, right.
Right. So those moms and dads and children don't the coffee hasn't kicked in yet.
That's okay.
Those families are technically not homeless per our definition because they're not sleeping in the rough, but they don't have a place to call home.
Right. And we see that a lot. I hear about that from a lot of the teachers that I know.
Yes.
Who are aware of situations where they're not homeless per se, but they don't have a home of their own, as you said.
Exactly. And it's heartbreaking to know that those families in the community are, you know, they're doing the best that they can to work
mm-hmm.
and to bring in an income. And for whatever reason, that income is not allowing them to be able to afford housing for them, their you know, and their family members.
Right. No, that makes perfect sense. So your organization, we're talking with Bruce Cady. He's executive director with Opening Doors of Northwest Florida, who serves both Escambia and Santa Rosa County. Talk about some of the partnership. This is a community effort. So, and for people to understand the legitimacy of your organization,
sure.
Talk about some of the partners that you do work in with to coordinate the efforts on, say, you gave the example of one homeless situation. But
right.
Tell me about who are all the partners? Because I was looking on your website and I was amazed at all the different organizations that you work with in this community to make these things happen.
Great question. In the continuum of care, we try to bring together as many of the components,
mm-hmm.
agencies and individuals that are providing service delivery or inform the service delivery towards the homeless. So I would start in the with county governments.
Because mm-hmm. I would imagine there's a lot of overlap mm-hmm. and probably not as much communication maybe because everybody's so focused on the area that they're working on. And so this is a great way for it to get coordinated so that you're not doing duplicate services, correct.
We bring everyone to the table and give us all an opportunity to understand what we're doing.
Right.
And what we're doing well, and also, quite frankly, what we're doing not so well.
Right.
And so we can fix that. So back to your question on who's part of our continuum of care, I'd like to start with Escambia County. I met with the county administrator, Wes Marino, and his staff. They are active and invested in helping all of us serve the members of the community that are homeless. And so county government, city of Pensacola, Councilwoman Allison Patton is on our board, on our continuum of care board. She is helping us tap into the city of Pensacola resources. We have a member from Pensacola Police Department who's a member of our board, and she's in her.
You have a very impressive board membership list.
Oh, absolutely! These are the people that are out there every day doing the good work to serve our community. And in the case of homelessness, they're getting together at the table that we're hosting to figure out a way to serve the homeless. One of the things that impressed me so much when I got here, and it was different from where I came from, the shelter capacity that we have within our community is absolutely fabulous. It's not enough. So we have gaps there, absolutely. But to have the number of quality providers like Waterfront Ministries, like Bright Bridge Ministries, like Loaves and Fishes, like Reentry Alliance Program, REAP.
Right.
And I know I'm missing some, Serene.
Serene, do you have any to add to the list of organizations, because you've been in the mix for some time?
Absolutely. I don't want to miss out not only organizations, but leadership support. We're also in Santa Rosa County as well. And so we have Mayor Heather Lindsay is from the city of Milton that's on our board. We have Dana Fleming, who oversees Santa Rosa County programs for the school district, are also on our leadership council. And as far as the other agencies that are involved with us, you know, we have Family Promise of Escambia as well. Combined through those things that I'm very passionate about right now is the beds for families that we have. So we have like Overflow Help Alliance, Loaves and Fishes Helps. There's a total of around maybe 50 beds, but we're still getting multiple phone calls. These beds are full. Through this cold snap that we have.
Right, you know, of course. So I've noticed the news has been reporting the shelters that are open at night, which is very helpful. But I said to myself, well, that's great, except they're probably the people that need this information aren't watching TV. That was my first thought. So getting the word out to those folks that there is help available and a shelter available in this cold weather.
We're so dependent on those organizations that be open right now. But, you know, we have Chandra Smiley on our leadership.
Sure, Community Health.
Northwest Florida. Gosh, there's quite a, we have all the representation industry for continuum of care is on our leadership. And if they're not on our leadership council, they're on our opening doors board of directors, which is a total new different board.
So we have so many of our community organizations connected to you. You are now kind of overseeing getting everyone to communicate, to have that continuum be something that works for each situation. So we're going to come back in the next half hour, and I'd like to talk a little bit about the process, the funding, and kind of get into the nuts and bolts. And I'm going to ask a question now and let you think about it. When I drive on my way to work every day, I see someone on a corner with a sign, and I was told years ago, for various reasons, because I lived in New York City, they would say, don't give them money because they're going to go buy booze with it. And so then I thought, well, I'll give them a bagel and a coffee. So one day I did that, and I turned around, and the guy sold the bagel and coffee. So there's a stigma that happens. And so
classic
people like
New York.
Me, who have a big heart and want to do something, what can I do when I see someone like that? Or how can I help? So I want to pose that question to you when we come back, and we're going to come back in just a few minutes. In the meantime, we're going to take a break here. We've got the news coming up in just a couple minutes. If you have a question for Bruce, Katie, or for Serene, who are here with Opening Doors of Northwest Florida, we've got a whole nother half hour coming up. So I would encourage you to text those questions in at 850-437-1620. And if someone is leaving now, and maybe they're walking into their office at work, where can they find information about you? You do have a website.
We sure do. You can go to our website. That's www.openingdoors.org. nwfl.org.
Okay, so Opening Doors, nwfl.org. And there are other organizations with a similar name, of Open Door, but this is very specifically Opening Doors of Northwest Florida.
That's correct.
Okay, and how long have you all been here?
We're just about ready to, next year it will be 40 years.
Wow.
So this is the year.
Wow, where have I been? Why do I not know more about you? This is amazing.
Well, you haven't talked with me and Serene yet, so okay. Now you have. You're fixing that.
I'm excited to hear more because what you're doing is truly, truly remarkable and absolutely needed in our community. Okay, so we're going to be coming back in just a couple minutes here. We have just about 30 seconds left. Is there a phone number folks can reach? And where you do have a facility. We'll talk a little bit about that too, but where is your facility located?
We're located at the New Warrington Spur, so you can go to our office at 1020 North New Warrington Road in Pensacola.
Okay. And if you're someone that's listening this morning and you need help, you can go to the website. I'm hoping that you have a phone to do that, where you can click on, there's a place that says, I need help. Click on that and you'll start to find a process that you can go through to get help. And if you're someone that's interested possibly in helping out and volunteering, I know we're going to have some opportunities and ways that you can sponsor as well. Coming up in the next half hour on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel talking with our friends from Opening Doors of Northwest Florida. We will be back right after the news on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. I'm your host, Meg, and I'm very privileged and honored to have in the studio this morning with me our friends from Opening Doors of Northwest Florida. Bruce Cady is here. Serene, am I pronouncing this? Kike, is that right? Kike is here. And we're talking about the services that they provide and coordinate for the homeless, both in Escambia and Santa Rosa County. You can find out information directly on their website. And Bruce, if you'd give us that website again, in case someone wants to look at it while we're talking.
Sure thing. We're Opening Doors of Northwest Florida. So our website is www.openingdoorsnwfl.org.
Okay, perfect. If you have a question and you would like to have us go through some of the ideas or comments, 850-437-1620. So let's get back. Maybe someone's just joined us to talk about what is Opening Doors of Northwest Florida.
Sure. Opening Doors of Northwest Florida is the lead agency for the homeless continuum of care for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties.
You've been here 40 years. I didn't realize you'd been here that long.
We've been here serving the community for 40 years. And regrettably, homelessness is still an issue in our communities. And there's a reason why agencies like ours exist, because it's a complicated problem.
Mm-hmm.
We have not solved homelessness yet as a society. There are other societies that have solved homelessness. We're not one of them. Okay, so my job is to work hard every day, as with my staff, to make homelessness go away. I don't want to have a job here anymore.
Yes, that would be the ultimate goal, right?
That would be success in the work that we do. So that's what drives myself and the others in our community, the wonderful members of this community that wake up every morning looking to serve.
Mm-hmm.
Looking to serve.
And so many of our audience do just that.
Well, and you know what's so I'm a veteran of the Marine Corps. I served your United States Marine Corps in the 90s, and I find the veteran community in Escambia and Santa Rosa County to be absolutely motivating. We have patriotic, dedicated individuals that have signed the ultimate check.
Mm-hmm.
They've signed their life to serve the freedoms of this nation. And I am so honored and proud to call them my friends and my colleagues as we're here, as I mentioned earlier. We're here to solve homelessness, to ensure that when we drive down our streets, we are not seeing individuals, fellow citizens of our country, that are in the most dire crisis of their lives. And I want all of us to remember that they're not there by choice. They're there for any number of reasons, and we're here to help them mm-hmm. leave that crisis.
So, and when we're talking about what you do as an organization, tell us a little bit about how you were talking about other organizations that you work with. So, in the interest of, I mean, it's probably a long story,
sure.
But when you come down to where you're going to actually help a family or help someone, how does that process work? So, if I go to your website and I say, I need help, and you have all of these amazing organizations that are members of your board. You have the ones that you work sure. with. But how does that process work?
Okay, great question. There's a science mm-hmm. To the work that we do. And that science has milestones that we work to achieve with each one of the clients that we serve. The first of those milestones is those individuals being engaged by our outreach community, our street outreach. That's how this starts. That's how we as a community understand who it is that is on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We then, once they enter the street outreach a service as part of the service delivery network, they are entered into coordinated entry. So coordinated entry is managed by our agency. That gets all the relevant information from that individual into our, it's called HMIS, the Homeless Management Information System.
Mm-hmm.
It's a system that is used throughout the United States to track services to those that are experiencing homelessness. Then from coordinated entry, the community can see who it is out there, and we're able to make referrals to different agencies. And so the next thing is, through coordinated entry, we get the individuals into emergency shelter.
Mm.
That's the next step. We get a roof over their head.
First thing.
First, get them into Waterfront, get them into Brightbridge, get them into REAP, get them into Loaves and Fishes, get them into a shelter to start the stabilization process. That's not the end process. And a lot of people think that's the end. So mm-hmm. I want to correct your listeners. Just because an individual has gotten into emergency shelter doesn't mean that they're not homeless anymore. They're just safe.
Right.
They're with a caring provider that's providing dignity and quality support. Then supportive services wrap around the individual as they need, whether it's health services, mental health, substance abuse disorder, employment assistance, whatever it is that led them to enter into homelessness needs to be resolved.
So in a sort of an interesting way, I just had this image of someone that's fallen off the ladder, and now you're here to get them their foot back on that first rung, to get them to climb that ladder back into being a working part of society.
And that's a wonderful analogy, because the next step is transitional housing.
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. So that's 6 months to a year of stable housing off the street and able to receive supportive services. But a lot of people think that's the end. No, that's not the end. The next step is transition to permanent housing,
mm-hmm.
back into our community, back into our neighbors, the folks that we visit at different stores that are working there that have just gotten their own place again, maybe with a roommate or two or family members.
Part of that is helping them be ready for employment.
Exactly.
And that could be something I know just from my own experience, that we say that, oh, we'll go for a job interview, but I've worked with an organization that provides clothing for people to look good for the job interview.
Exactly.
Those are the things we don't think of. It's not that easy to get a job, but you can't walk in a job looking like a homeless person. You know, you
exactly.
want to come into the job looking like you're ready to work, correct?
Yes. But that permanent housing isn't the end.
Mm-hmm.
So far, each one of those steps is a step towards survival, the base instinct of safety,
mm-hmm.
then food. So roof over the head, then food, then supportive services. We as a community need to recalibrate our minds to look at how can we help these individuals thrive? Because when these individuals are thriving, they are active contributing members of our community. Issues that they had in their past that caused them to be drawn down mm-hmm. into the crises that they experience are gone, and they're at the point where they can help others.
Right.
Right. It is within our line of work, it is very common for providers, agencies, the organizations that do this work, to bring on as staff people with lived experience.
It's that power of example, that if
that's
I can
right.
do it, so can you.
And they've been there, and they've walked a mile in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned very on in my career that you don't judge another man or woman until you walked a mile in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so having individuals with lived experience allows us to draw forward through that pipeline, if you will, And also, by the way, the people that are working in this industry that were homeless at one point, at this point, they're thriving.
Right.
Because they're able to give back. They're paying forward, okay, what was given to them early on. And it's just a wonderful cycle of, you know, of hope, of compassion, and support.
So I have a listener that sent in a couple. We've got a couple of questions that have come in on the text line. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's Expert with Meg. And today we have the opening doors of Northwest Florida here, Bruce Cady, Celine Kike is here. And one of the questions, we've had a couple questions coming in. Where does the money come from? Tell us about the funding. Because there are some misunderstandings about a 501c3 and what your role is. And my understanding, I think, from Serene, you were telling me at the break that you have what is called pass-through funding. So explain that, because I've not heard that before. But because you work for a lot of agencies, the money may come through your agency first and then goes to help the others. Is that, am I understanding that correctly, or not quite so much?
Yeah.
Where does the funding come from for all of this?
Well, the funding can come from a couple of places. First, we are at Opening Doors Northwest Florida. We're a nonprofit, so the funding can come from the community to help us with non-restricted funds. That way, these funds can be used faster than a HUD or state federal funding. The other one comes through what we consider a notice of funding opportunities, come through to us both from the federal and the state level.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that place, we go to what we do, a grant process that goes back out to the community to allow our community partners to apply for the funding. When this happens, it needs to be very clear, these grants are not selected by our Opening Doors Board of Directors nor our Leadership Council. There's another set of people, volunteers, that go through a grant selection process, through a Rubik's Cube scoring, through a vetting process. And so then these people are chosen. And then I'm going to let Bruce take over to explain the more intricate parts of it.
Sure. And that's a great question, because people
have concerns about that, obviously. Sometimes you hear these stories on the news, and they want to know if there's an organization like this, that their money is actually being used for what it's said it's being used for.
Absolutely. And that's a concern. I have the same concern when I make donations to different charities that I believe in. So to what Serene had shared, our first and foremost responsibility to this community is, as I started, to identify gaps in service with everyone's voice in the community. And then the next step is identify gaps in funding for those gaps in service.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we go out and we get it. Okay. And so we are a grant recipient from the state of Florida, administered through the Department of Children and Families. We have funding that we apply for on an annualized basis that we have to report our performance.
So there is accountability.
Of course.
When you get state and federal funding, that's something maybe people don't realize, but it's very strict accountability.
Every day in my life is understanding the performance measures of our organization and our subgrantees.
Mm-hmm.
So in many cases, we're not the one delivering the service. Okay, as Serena had mentioned, we have a ranking and review committee, part of our continuum of care leadership council, that ranks and reviews all the applications for funding that we receive. And they tell us what the priorities of the community are,
mm-hmm.
and who we're going to fund. And then we're the fund administrators.
Gotcha.
We're the ones that make sure that the funds get to those subrecipient agencies.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're the ones that do their audit, do their compliance, make sure that they're following, you know, the eligibility requirements for the funding, as well as their compliance with the the outcomes and the service delivery expectations. And we do the same with, as Serene mentioned, the NOFO, the big HUD NOFO, that's Notice of Funding Opportunity. Likewise, we're the ones that make the application for the community to HUD.
Mm-hmm.
And then the funding gets to our communities, right? Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. And then our ranking and review committee determines the different project applications,
right,
that are most impactful.
Mm-hmm.
And year over year, they're going to choose different projects as other issues come bubbling up as, ooh, that's a bigger gap in service for our community right now. So this coming year, we're going to, you know, solicit applications. So right now, as a newcomer coming into this continuum of care here in Escambia and Santa Rosa County, We have wonderful street outreach providers that are in the community every day engaging with the homeless. We don't have enough. Okay. And we, if we truly want to get our arms around the homelessness issue, we need to have more boots on the ground doing that very important, impactful work. That's not a slight to any of the providers that are out there in the streets right now. There's just not enough of them.
Right, of course. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. If you have a question, 850-437-1620. Got quite a few texts coming in, and I'm hoping we can get to all of them. So it is a community effort, as you've said, and people can help by volunteering, by donating. And one of the questions that came in was, and I saw this on the news last night, as a matter of fact. The question is, I hear your children are homeless in Escambia County to a high degree. Why don't we see them anywhere? We always see the people on the streets, but mostly adults, I guess, is what they're asking.
That is a great question. And I touched on it briefly, so that's a great question. If you want to understand homelessness within families, go to a Walmart parking lot at 7 o'clock in the morning. Go to the edges of those parking lots and look at vehicles that have 1, 2, 3 kids, and it looks like all of their earthly possessions in that vehicle. There are wonderful businesses in our community that don't withhold services, like use of restrooms. Walmart is, across my experience, they don't fuss at people to park in their parking lot. They allow them to go in and use their restrooms. The moms and dads out there that are experiencing homelessness are afraid that if their homelessness becomes apparent, they may lose their rights as a parent.
I can understand that, yeah, because they're afraid that the Child Protective Services is going to come in. So that's an issue, I'm sure.
Yep.
And something, and that goes back to the stigma and the misinformation that we have about people that are homeless and the situations they find themselves in.
Sure. Yeah, and that's one area where our community needs to do some work. We need more family shelters that will allow minor children that are accompanied by their parent or parents. And so that's a great question. As I talked about earlier, the whole continuum, we need to really focus on helping individuals get, if they're not in permanent housing right now, get them into permanent housing. That includes affordable housing. That includes a support for developers that are willing to develop properties that are affordable, that's not driven by a profit margin motive and to charge the highest rents possible.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. We do have to play some commercials here. This is Pep Talk. If you've got a question, 850-437-1620. Talking with Bruce Cady and Serene Kike with Opening Doors of Northwest Florida. We'll be right back. And we're back. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, talking about Opening Doors of Northwest Florida. So I guess the question is, how can we help? What can we do? How can we support this organization and support getting help for our homeless?
Yeah, so don't worry about supporting our organization. Let's worry about supporting those experiencing homelessness in our community. And that's how I view all the work that we do together. So one of the things that we get a lot of are, and I think you had a question that came in related to families. For whatever reason, there are families that from time to time find themselves experiencing homelessness. They have a medical issue, a car breaks down, and they miss rent, and then they get evicted, and they do not have a place to be. We do not have any funding available, nor does any of our partner agencies have funding available for motel stays. Or if they do, it's minimal, very minimal. And so if you felt inclined to donate to help pay for a hotel stay, and I think here on average, the hotel stays at affordable hotels are about $80 a night. So that if you could donate any quantity of $80 to Opening Doors Northwest Florida, and when you do the donation, ask that it be used for families for hotels, we would put that into a restricted account that we would only use to house families into hotels for a period of time, understanding that hotels are a form of emergency shelter. Okay, a hotel is not a long-term commitment. It's a week to allow our case managers and our partner agencies, and their case managers, to figure out how we can help these individuals get into housing. Another way to help is we are next week counting on the night of January 26th. We're counting our point in time count. That's where we go and we do the surveys across Escambia and Santa Rosa County. We desperately need help. We need your time. And it can be as simple as helping distribute at our office location the care bags for the teams that are going out to survey. If you want a survey, that's great. We would love to get you, trained up quickly and put you onto a survey team. You know, maybe going to one of the brick and mortar locations at a meal service location. We also could use volunteers throughout the year. If you have time, we have work that is either not getting done or I'm having to pay staff to do it. And I'd prefer not to pay staff to do it. I prefer to have volunteers doing, you know, a lot of the work that needs to be done so I can keep my staff numbers down and I have more of a budget available to provide service delivery.
Now, where do I go to sign up and to find out more?
The Opening Doors website, www.openingdoorsnwfl.org. Go to our website. There's a how to volunteer. There's a contact us. You can send an email. There are phone numbers on there. You can call us and you'll be answered right away and we'll get your info.
Okay. We just had a comment come in. It says Opening Doors in big capital letters, a superb organization, real estate broker with two tenants, great tenants, only homeless assistance organization in town that does not enable, but truly helps their clients. Had experience with other organizations, but this one is the best. So that's a great compliment to both of you. We have to go take a commercial break. I'm not sure if we're going to have enough time to come back again, but we've got the website out. You can go and find out more, and we're going to have you back on Pep Talk. So many questions, so many things to talk about. This is Pep Talk. We'll be back in just a minute. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Just run out of time this morning. Such an interesting conversation. I appreciate both of you taking the time to come in. And again, how can folks help? What is your website?
You can go to our website, www.openingdoorsnwfl.org.
Okay, so we need help with the point in time count, and if you want to find out more information about what you can do, go to that website. But thank you so much to Bruce Cady and to Celine Kike and to everyone and all the organizations, the people that serve on your board, the organizations that partner with the Independence community 40 years, and we really need to have you continue. So thank you for all that you do for our community.